As Republican lawmakers target Medicaid fraud, are Ohio residents in danger of losing benefits? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss how much fraud, waste, and abuse can be rooted out of Medicaid and what President Trump's plan to cut $1 trillion from the program will mean for Ohio families are Ohio State Representative Ashley Bryant Bailey, a Cincinnati Democrat. Welcome back, Representative Bryant Bailey.
Thank you for having me.
And Protect Our Care Director of Policy Programs, Vaishu Jawahar. Thanks for being here, Vaishu.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Representative Bryant Bailey, tell us about the bill to tackle Medicaid fraud that the Ohio House passed last night. I know it was a late night for you. Some Democrats did join Republicans in passing the bill. What did it include? What was taken out of it?
Well, you know, I think this has been, I wish I could say a long process, because I think something that can be so impactful or dangerous for our residents should have been a process that took months and months and months. Instead, it has taken maybe, you know, a rushed through version of the last 2 to 3 weeks. I think what most folks were hearing over the last couple of weeks were the risk of family caregivers losing the ability to be paid as caregivers for their family members. Our Medicaid committee, and kudos to my Democratic colleagues, because those committees were very emotional. I am so grateful for our constituents taking the time, making their way to Columbus to truly share their stories. And I do believe they were impactful, because fortunately, through lots of negotiation, we were able to make sure that that exemption did not show up in this version of the bill. And so that was certainly, you know, one of the big hot button issues that I think were really plaguing a lot of my own constituents, lots of phone calls, lots of emails. And so, you know, I think being able to pull out a lot of the devastation that really came from lack of research and understanding of how Medicaid benefits have been distributed, the types of requirements that it takes. And so I do think that what we ended up voting on yesterday, while a decent bill, I was a no on the bill. And, you know, obviously, I want to make sure that our residents get the benefits that they need. I also want to make sure that we are mitigating fraud, that, you know, we want to make sure that people are getting the benefits for actually those who need it. But as far as the lack of transparency and the rushed process for this, I just couldn't give quite a stamp of approval for that process. But I am happy that we delivered a decent bill.
Mm-hmm. So you voted no because you just think it was too rushed and there wasn't enough transparency behind the discussion?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a nuanced vote, right? But I think the process and the process leaves, you know, this isn't a perfect bill. There often aren't. but I do think that we can do more. I hope that we continue to do more. And so my note was more of a signifier of that. I think we can do more for our residents. We can do more to actually protect from misuse and fraud abuse. And I would love for, you know, our Republican colleagues to give us the opportunity to take the time to actually deliver what our residents deserve.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this provision that would have ended Medicaid payments for people who help family members. That was part of the anti-fraud bill for a while. That provision was pulled out. You know, so many people went to Columbus to testify and talk about how important those benefits were to them and their families. Do you think that could resurface, that idea of ending those payments for family members who are also caregivers?
Well, you know, I have to say, there's no guarantee of it not resurfacing. I mean, yesterday we had several bills that came back on Senate concurrence with all types of crazy things stuffed into them that had nothing to do with the actual bill. I mean, we, you know, one of the things that got stuffed into a good bill for, you know, waiving fees for birth certificates and IDs for our homeless, our communities experience homelessness. And now now we're talking about photo ID requirement for mail-in ballot on a Senate concurrence. So I wish I could say, nope, we're done. You know, we've stamped. But you really just never know. And for it to have even been in there in the first place is a travesty. And so I wouldn't be surprised for it to come back around. But I will say, because a lot of times folks don't really understand how valuable their voices are. And I really think this is a direct proof point that folks coming up to Columbus, written testimony, all the calls and emails that were done really changed some hearts and minds on this particular issue. And so I do hope that my Republican colleagues heard them loud and clear, and I hope not to see this come back around.
So how much fraud has been found in the state's Medicaid program, Representative Brian Bailey?
Sure. So, you know, we have to be clear here. We can't deny that fraud is a problem. The Department of Medicaid, I believe, has said they've recovered or saved from closed investigations of fraud almost $115 million. What we also can't ignore is that Republicans in the legislature have been in charge, or not the legislature, of the state, have been in charge of this oversight. And so how do we just punish our residents without actually taking a close look at that leadership and going, why is it that a Daily Wire article is what gets you all going instead of actually doing your jobs throughout the year? The Republicans in power have had the oversight to how we've been delivering our Medicaid benefits. So if we're, you know, bleeding money, as they say, well, they need to take accountability and responsibility for that. So instead of us legislating people's rights away, we should be taking a good look at the Department of Medicaid and going, what has gone wrong here and how do we fix it as leaders, not just punishing the folks who need these benefits.
Vaishu, I want to talk to you about that Daily Wire report that Representative Brian Bailey just referenced. Can you talk to us a little bit about the allegations made in that report and what you think taxpayers should make of those allegations of fraud?
Yeah, so these allegations are part of a larger trend that we're seeing federally for certain politicians to create a narrative that benefits them ahead of midterms. What's happened recently is that Republicans in Congress, along with President Trump, joined forces to pass H.R. 1. That was a bill that passed last summer, and it contained huge tax breaks for millionaires and corporations, and the largest cuts to healthcare in history. So millions of people are set to lose their healthcare. They're going to see their premiums go up. Life's just going to get a lot harder for working families, while extremely wealthy people make a lot of money. Now, that's a hugely unpopular policy. So what folks have decided to do is to try and say that all these cuts were targeting fraud, and it's only just raking out the fraud that's in the system. We don't find a whole lot of evidence for that. And this data that the Daily Wire report lifts up is actually data that was specifically released by the DOGE part of the government. And they purposely put out that data as a strategic effort to sow doubt and justify these hugely unpopular cuts. And they purposely put out that data for people like the author of this Daily Wire report, who does not have the expertise, frankly, to analyze this data and come to evidence-based conclusions, for him to create articles that drive a narrative that covers up the real impact that these cuts are having on families. So, like, the Daily Wire report has no actual evidence of fraud. It just creates questions about how these payments were handled. It identifies where the Medicaid money went, but it doesn't confirm whether those services were provided or whether false claims were filed or whether any money was actually improperly pocketed. Some of these companies pointed out in the report are actually fiscal intermediaries, and they kind of handle payroll for caregivers across the state, including family members who care for relatives at home. So even though large payments might be flowing through one address, and that can look suspicious on the surface, actually it could be explained in a lot of ways that don't involve fraud at all. So these are people who don't have a lot of experience looking at this data and jumping to conclusions that benefit the narrative that they're trying to create to hide the very real impact this is having on, you know, families who are trying to take care of children at home, who can't even go to the bathroom by themselves, or like relatives who are on feeding tubes, and it's really appalling to see.
I really appreciate that explanation, Vaishu, because I hadn't heard that explanation that there are these payroll companies that might be processing payments for people and families and providers across the state. I think that's really interesting. I should note that the Daily Wire is a conservative news outlet. But let me ask you this, Vaishu. There is some fraud in any big government program. I mean, Representative Brian Bailey just talked about some fraud that was identified here in Ohio. Isn't it a good idea to eliminate fraud as much as possible?
Yes, definitely. Like any fraud in the healthcare system should be rooted out, but that's not what these cuts are doing. They're taking away healthcare from millions of people, and they're using that same funding to pay for tax breaks for really wealthy people and big corporations. And instead of going after the real fraudsters and using a scalpel instead of a jackhammer, Republicans are cutting the healthcare that and long-term care that families depend on every day. And, you know, it's going to be seniors, kids with disabilities, families caring for them who pay the price. And it's really, really appalling to see. Yes, we should root out fraud, but that's not what all these, like $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts, that's not what it's doing.
We're talking about Ohio lawmakers' efforts to root out Medicaid fraud and the impact of federal cuts on Ohio families. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Representative Brian Bailey, I know some Republican lawmakers in Ohio have become suspicious that people are being paid for providing care when they shouldn't be. That was a big discussion point around this whole question of whether family members should be paid. Are you concerned about that? Do you think there are people out there who are getting paid for, you know, carrying groceries for grandma when they shouldn't be?
Let me tell you, as a caregiver to an aging parent who is a state rep, another, you know, I have other responsibilities. Choosing to care for a loved one is often not out of choice, it's out of necessity. And that is something that I've heard not, you know, from many of residents in my district, because a lot of the care facilities, when you have very complex, you know, folks with developmental disabilities, you know, we have a shortage in our long-term care facilities. We have a shortage in workers who are properly trained. And many times, caring for your family in home is the last resort for most of these families. They tried other facilities. They tried in-home nurses. They've tried all these things and unfortunately had very trying experiences. And so I think we cannot just go, and thank you, Vaishu, for calling it out, because I'll be frank, a lot of this are these dog whistle narratives, right? There are very real needs for folks here in Ohio, and caring for a loved one is not just a convenient choice for a check. Now, to be fair, and I've said it, if there is fraud, yes, it should be investigated. It should be prosecuted, because that is taking away from the folks that need it. But the solution is not to get rid of these programs. The solution isn't $1 trillion worth of cuts. The solution is actually, how about we give an appropriate amount of resourcing and funds to these programs so that they can afford to actually in real time have the mechanisms to ensure that these, you know, fraud cases aren't slipping through the cracks. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we should be looking at. Not just to completely go and cut the funding under the guise that, oh, you're just getting paid to carry your grandmother's groceries. That's not the case. And it is a slap in the face to the people that we represent who came up there, you know, 20, 30, 50 people, right, to come up and have to show you and tell you this is life or death for me.
Do you think it's possible that there are a lot of family members who are providing that caregiving for you know, relatives who need it who aren't getting reimbursed, who don't even know that they can qualify.
Absolutely. I mean, again, with an aging parent, I had to learn a lot about Medicaid and the passport waivers, and I had a 2-hour phone call myself just to really understand what is available. You know, what are the services for our seniors, let alone if you have, you know, a family member with a developmental disability. So these aren't things, you know, people think, oh, there's some flyer in the library that says, come get a Medicaid check. I mean, this is a pretty complex process, you know. So again, I'm not saying that there aren't the bad actors out there, but it does, you know, take a lot to get to a place of saying, oh, I'm, you know, no one's thinking they're just about to get some free check for caring for their loved one. It's not that black and white.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, how Habitat for Humanity plans to build more homes more quickly. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our discussion about how Ohio lawmakers are targeting Medicaid fraud and whether families are in danger of losing benefits. My guests are Ohio State Representative Ashley Bryant-Bailey, a Cincinnati Democrat, and Protect Our Care Director of Policy Programs, Vaishu Jawahar. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get an email from Janelle who writes, the overwhelming majority of Medicaid fraud is committed by providers, so why is the current solution, put in quotation marks, to make the average person suffer? Vaishu, do you want to address that? It sounds like that gets back to your earlier point that maybe this isn't about fraud.
Yeah, Janelle really hit the nail on the head here. Like, these cuts are set to throw hundreds of thousands of Ohioans off their health care. Medicaid pays for the majority of folks in Ohio's nursing homes. It pays for the majority of home care. It's an absolutely vital service to lots of people. And any solutions targeting fraud should be really targeting providers and maybe, like Representative Bailey said, increasing the amount of funding for, you know, Medicaid fraud control units and letting them do their jobs and while still protecting care for the millions of people who rely on it. But that's not what they're doing. They're really taking a chainsaw to the whole program. And sadly, like, all these Medicaid cuts, again, were done in the same bill that gave trillions of dollars in tax breaks to extremely wealthy people and corporations. So it wasn't something that needed to happen. And we certainly have the money to have better solutions. So this really feels like a witch hunt to me.
Vaishu, Representative Bryant-Bailey talked earlier about the kinds of services that home health care providers give and caregivers provide, things like, you know, helping a child go to the bathroom who has disabilities that doesn't allow them, that can allow, that don't allow them to do that themselves, feeding tubes, things like that. How are Medicaid cuts at the federal level affecting people's ability to get those services at home?
Yeah, so Medicaid cuts basically took nearly $1 trillion of Medicaid funding that would have gone towards state Medicaid programs out of the system. Now, when states are facing these pinched budgets and they have to decide what to cut, unfortunately, they're left with very few options and a terrible environment where really any choice is going to be painful. And so the services that are considered optional, quote, for Medicaid state programs to cover often include home and community-based services and the services like people getting the personal care that they need at home, whether that's assistance getting to the bathroom or therapy at home or like changing of their feeding tubes or a personal aid for kids with autism. These are the kind of services that we're seeing being cut due to the waterfall effect of these funding cuts. So we're seeing these cuts to services for people at home and people with disabilities everywhere from Colorado to North Carolina, to plenty of other states. And we know that that's only going to get worse in the future because the deeper cuts are yet to come.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, Vaishu. You mentioned that hundreds of thousands of Ohioans are at risk of losing Medicaid because of these cuts that were in President Trump's signature. He called it the One Big Beautiful Bill. Talk about this report your organization issued, Vaishu, that talks about how the biggest Medicaid cuts are yet to come. They're coming in 2027 and 2028, right?
Yes. So it's actually alarming. Like, we've already seen that nearly a quarter of a million Ohioans have already lost their coverage since the Big Ugly Bill passed last summer. And that includes over 100,000 Ohioans on Medicaid coverage and about 91,000 Ohioans who could no longer afford ACA coverage. So we're already seeing that happening. And again, like I said, that's just the beginning. According to a research, a well-known think tank here in DC, nearly 500,000 Ohioans are estimated to lose their health care over the next decade due to the cuts in HR1 and the premium hikes that happened because they didn't extend the tax credits. So that's the estimated impact we're looking at over the coming years. And in terms of the deeper cuts that are yet to come, this bill was purposely set up so some of the that the so that some of the deepest cuts to healthcare would take place after the midterm elections happened, so that certain members of Congress wouldn't have to deal with the political consequences of voting for this bill. So there are cuts such as cuts to provider taxes and state-directed payments that were really mechanisms for states to generate their share of the Medicaid funding and draw down the federal funding that they need to pay providers and keep these services going. Those deeper cuts are set to hit next year, as well as the Medicaid work requirements that are going to result in the largest losses in healthcare coverage. Those are coming next year as well.
Representative Bryant Bailey, what impact do you expect all these cuts at the federal level to have on the state budget in Ohio?
I mean, incredible impact. It's projected over the next decade that we would lose almost $33 billion in
Is that billion with a B?
with a B in Medicaid funding, and without replacing it, right? And so, you know, we would have to make some serious decisions around, you know, when it comes to benefits. But also, there's unintended consequences, right? Without coverage, people wait longer to receive care and go to the ER, where, you know, there's pricier medical bills on top of that. If they have no way to pay them, then the cost gets passed on to other hospital patients who would be insured. I mean, so this is all cyclical, and the impacts will be felt significantly for sure. Oh, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I mean, I'd also say, I mean, you know, folks ask, okay, well, what does that mean if we lose $33 billion? And you can mitigate some of these things, but everything comes at a cost, right? And so, you know, one, we can modify the Health Insurance Corporation franchise fee, and that would meet uniformity requirements. But the flip side of that is that, you know, we would raise revenue on the program, which raises healthcare costs. Then, you know, we can cut Medicaid expenditures by shrinking eligibility groups. But then what does that do? That kicks more people off of Medicaid and reduces participation. And so everything comes at a cost. Of course, we're going to have to find ways to work around them. But at the end of the day, our people are going to suffer behind this.
Well, and I guess there's this added effect that if people don't have health care coverage and they decide to skip treatments or services or therapies that might be helpful but maybe aren't life-threatening, that affects employees too and the whole
Absolutely.
Workforce and everything.
Absolutely.
So is there any other way, Representative Bryant Bailey, for the state to make up the money it's expecting to lose from these federal cuts? Any other solutions on the horizon?
No, you know, the solution is that we should be working hard and advocating by all means at the federal level to stop them from making these draconian cuts. I mean, that is the solution. We have got to put pressure on folks to stop playing politics with our people. The timing, you know, Vaishu, thank you for all the work that Protect Our Care is doing and for just speaking the truth. the narratives, the timing, all of it is playing politics with our people, and we deserve so much better.
Well, I've been talking with Ohio State Representative Ashley Bryant Bailey, a Cincinnati Democrat and Protect Our Care Director of Policy Programs, Vaishu Jawahar. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Up next, how Habitat for Humanity of Greater Cincinnati plans to build more homes more quickly. This is Cincinnati Edition.